I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to come to you and just to continue in the series on grace. The more we know about the grace of God, the more we will be bearing the fruit of God in our lives. The gospel is not about you trying to be like Jesus. The gospel is all about Jesus living in you. Now, there's a great difference between the two. The more you try to be like Jesus out of your own strength, the more you'll find frustration in your life and you will never walk in victory. Man, that is a powerful truth. If you can just get that in your mind today and just start live by that, oh man, it will be such a manifestation. It will bring forth such a manifestation of God's unconditional love in your life. It will bring the very nature of God manifesting in you. Today we are speaking more on the grace of God from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. Let's read from verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it does also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So what it says here is there was a word of hope that says there's a hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Now I believe that hope is Jesus Christ, and that hope speaks of the return of the Lord, wherein which we will receive resurrected bodies or glorified bodies, where we will have eternal life and in our physical bodies, and we will receive immortality. And where Jesus Christ would come to the earth and return to this earth, make us new and the whole planet new in His return. Now, that message of hope is laid up for us in heaven. It doesn't mean we need to go to heaven in order to receive it. It just says that message of hope is in heaven because Christ is in heaven today as a human being, from where He will return to this earth, to this world. And we are expecting His return. You know, so many people expect the Antichrist to manifest, and their eyes are so on the things of this world, thinking, when's the Antichrist going to come? When's the destruction of the whole planet? Thinking of everything that's negative. And let's think on the positive side. What Jesus Christ said was, He will come again. He will return again. From glory He will manifest. We will be caught up with Him in that same glory. And we will be with Him like that forever. And there's a wonderful sermon by Prophet Cobus von Rensburg about being caught up in the glory of God. That means to be caught up in that same thing, having a resurrected body with Him, from where we will rule with Him. And it's wonderful to know that the Bible says that the humble will inherit the earth. So my inheritance is this planet. This is what God has given unto the church. This is what God gives you. Amen. Now, I don't want to get into that, but what I want to say is that the gospel of Jesus Christ was bearing fruit since the day the people heard the word of hope in, and through that word of hope, they knew the grace of God in truth. So whenever you listen to a message, it must be grace promoting. If it doesn't promote grace, it's not going to bring forth fruit. There are many messages out there that sounds wonderful, that sounds good. I've been speaking to one of my friends about this whole thing and the doctrine of the Church of Scientology and all their reasonings and all their ways of thinking and all of that. And they've got some good stuff in there if you really listen to that. Not that I'm into that at all. I don't believe it's good for you or whatever. But there's good things in that as well. So you get good messages. You can get a good message that sounds very good, telling you what you must do for God. But it will not produce fruit. There's only one thing and one key the Apostle Paul gave unto the church that tells us how we will get it right to bear fruit. It says, since the day you knew the grace of God in truth, since that day, the Word was bearing fruit in you. If you cannot know the grace of God in truth, you will never bear fruit. Now, I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Fruit-bearing, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, temperance, faith, meekness, all those things, that is what I as a Christian want to see in my life. And I know that's what you want to see. I know so many of us, we are so tired of fighting with the husband or the wife. You're so tired of shouting at your children. You're so tired of always becoming negative and struggling with depression and all those things. And for once in your life, you want to bear fruit and you've been trying the gospel, trying to do the things Jesus commands in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, saying, turn the other cheek and all those type of things. And you were looking at that from a law perspective and finding no change. You were saying, my God, surely I must prosper financially, but you find no change. The key is given in Colossians chapter 1 verse 6. The Bible says the word of the gospel, the good news. What's the good news? Your sins are forgiven, you are made righteous. What's the good news? Your poverty has been taken away, you are given prosperity. What's the good news? Your fear has been taken away, you've got hope. But all of that manifests when you know the grace of God. If you don't know the grace of God, you will find it very difficult to bear fruit, for the gospel bears fruit since the day you know the grace of God in truth. Now I need to clarify what it means to know the grace of God in truth. Because there are many people that know the grace of God, but they don't know it in truth. We need to know it in truth. The only way we know the grace of God in truth is by knowing it from the perspective of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 says that true worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. And I believe that is what truth is, especially if you go and look from verse 22 and 23 in Hebrews chapter 10. It says there that we should come with a true heart. And I want to connect it to the lady at the well where Jesus spoke to her and said to her, the true worshippers shall worship with the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit, a true heart, and in truth, no consciousness of sin. So it says the true worshippers, Hebrews 10, shall come to the Father with a true heart, having their conscience sprinkled, or their mind sprinkled from an evil conscience. So when your conscience is sprinkled, it's washed, that you don't have an evil conscience anymore. You don't walk with guilt anymore because you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is truth. Now if you know the influence of God to the point that you don't have any guilt in your mind anymore, to the point that you feel, I have been set free, that day is when you'll see the Word starting to bear fruit in you. Man, that is awesome. It's such a powerful truth. So let's labor to enter into the rest. Labor, studying the Scriptures, praying, talking to God about how much He loves us, what He's done in Jesus Christ, so that we can get a deeper understanding of grace, so that the Word can bear fruit in us. Don't think you can bear the fruit. I've got a wonderful series out on bearing fruit, where I say that you cannot bear fruit, but God must bear fruit in you. If God doesn't bear fruit in you, even if you've got good fruit, that fruit's not of God anyway, it's of yourself. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, and we're just going to look at something just deeper into fruit bearing. Amen. It says there in verse 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, what that means is, man, the people that are outside, the people that are not serving the Lord, that are not Christians, we should have wisdom. Now, wisdom to me, and this is my definition of wisdom, is the correct action upon truth. When you know the right thing, when you know the truth, no consciousness of sin, to act correctly according to that. So if somebody is outside, meaning not saved, we should think the way Paul was thinking. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, that if one died, all are dead, and this love compels me to preach the gospel to the lost. So, how did he walk in wisdom? He had an action that says, those people outside that are lost, their sins has already been paid for. And I'm going to walk according to that, and I'm going to tell them that their sins has been paid for. That's found in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, where he says, men and brethren, speaking to people that are not saved, he says, let it be known unto you that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So he had a correct action towards them by telling them the truth about their sin, which is that it has been paid for. Amen. And if those Jews could confess that they have sinned in not believing in Jesus, their sins which has been forgiven in the which has been forgiven in Jesus, and the sin of not believing would have been forgiven them, and they would be made righteous in this world at that moment, that very same second they believe that. Amen. Now, that sounds a bit complicated. Get this message. You know, as you all know by now, that all my material is available for a donation of any amount. Man, get a hold of it and start to listen to it over and over and over. Because as I speak, the Holy Spirit speaks through me and inspires me to say these things. And I can also, while I preach, I listen to what I've got to say. And I'm blessed to hear this good news flowing. So you get deeper into this. Study this. Amen. So it says here, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, verse 6, it tells us how to do it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I believe grace is really the seasoning with salt. So, if you want to be the salt of the earth, if you really want to have your message full of salt, it must be grace. Let's read it again. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Why should we always have our speech seasoned with grace? It says, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, this is an awesome, awesome scripture and a revelation that is just so outstanding. It says here that our mouth, whenever we speak to the unbelievers, and remember, the context here is the unbeliever, the sinner. He says, whenever you speak to the unbeliever or the sinner, you must have grace in your mouth. What is grace? Grace is the finished work of Jesus Christ, what is done on behalf of man to influence man through His death, resurrection, and His obedience to the law. That's grace. Now, let your words always be full of grace when you speak to the lost. I've had a man say to me, Bertie, you know, you cannot preach to the lost, the sinners in jail, the message of grace. They must repent. Now, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said something here that is so clear. He says, if you are in wisdom towards those who are outside, you will always, towards a sinner, use words of grace. Why will you use words of grace? Why will you have the grace message in your mouth, or what Jesus has done for man? So that you can answer every question he has. Let's read it again. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Hallelujah. The answer for every question that every man has is the message of grace. Oh man, that's powerful. The answer for every problem is the message of grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Where you see people really living in sin, you must really preach the cross. The death of Jesus Christ on behalf of all of man, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on behalf of all of man, and His obedience to the law on behalf of all of man, so that all of mankind can have the blessings that would come through obedience. Now, if the sinner out there can understand that he can be blessed outside of his obedience to commandments, but he can be blessed in the obedience of Jesus to commandments, and the only obedience that he needs to have is obeying the gospel, meaning believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and then allowing the Holy Spirit to come into him and to transform his life. Amen. If the sinner can hear that, his life will easily be changed. And he will easily accept Jesus as his Savior. Amen. Now, the more I put grace in my mouth and in my mind, the easier it is to speak to all types of people. I can speak to a Muslim right now about Jesus Christ and bring a word that is not condemning to him. That's the key. The other day I preached in Natal, in Durban, in Scottsboro and in Belita. And I mean, there's Hindus that came to the service, and you don't want to condemn them. You want to preach a message that will get them to believe in Jesus Christ. And Hindus got saved and renounced all the other gods and received Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God, the Father of Jesus Christ, as the only true God. Why did they receive that? Because the words that I preached was seasoned with salt by just filling it with the grace of God. God being merciful, God being loving, and God obeying, dying, and being resurrected in the body of Jesus Christ on behalf of them all. I mean, who will reject a message like that except somebody who wants to use laws and regulations with a purpose to manipulate and control for his own gain? The message of grace makes it easy for people to get saved. Now let's read it the last time. It's so beautiful. It says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." Why? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. The answer to every problem is the message of grace. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It is so powerful, the message of grace. So the deeper you get into grace, the more you'll find answers for your problems. Now let's start with your own problem. It doesn't help you just look at somebody else's problem, but the context here is to preach the gospel and to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Wisdom being walking in the message of grace. It's absolutely foolish if you're an evangelist or a preacher or a pastor or somebody who goes and testifies to somebody and you go into his house and you say, you know, that picture over there is from the devil. That thing's from Satan. That thing's, you need to burn all of that. You know, if somebody would come to my house when I was unsaved and he would tell me that's from the devil and that's from the devil, I would tell that guy, man, you're from the devil. Get out here. You know, so what brought me to a place where I received Jesus was a message preached by Dominee Jan de Wet, where he told me in that sermon, this is what he ministered. He says, you can be a different type of Christian, which is dynamic, which conquers, which lives in victory. It's, you're able to do it. He didn't tell me what I can't do. He told me what I can do in Jesus Christ. And that got me to a point where I could just say, man, I'm taking this. This is for me. It makes me feel as if I can conquer. It makes me feel I'm worth something at least. Now, if we want to walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, let our mouth be filled with grace. If you don't walk with a mouth full of grace towards those who are outside, I'm talking towards the sinners, towards those who never accepted Jesus Christ, if you can't minister grace to him, you don't have any wisdom. That's it. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ became the wisdom of God unto us. So bring the wisdom of God, Jesus' obedience on behalf of man, to the world out there. And you'll see people getting saved. You'll see miracles happening. We're going to have some miracles at the end of this program showing you what happened in these crusades that we have. Man, and that's out of grace. The Bible says there was great signs and wonders because great grace was upon them all in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. So when it comes to your own life, when it comes to your own problems, when it comes to your own finances, when it comes to your own working out of your own salvation, you need to know the grace of God. You need to apply the word of grace. Otherwise, you're not using wisdom in the situation that you are in. And that's what it says in verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace so that you may have an answer to every question. The answer to every problem you have is grace. If you say, I don't have an answer to this problem, it just means one thing. You still have not seen the grace of God in that area. Maybe you're still under principles, maybe you're still under this or that in order to get something to work, but let me tell you the truth. The grace of God is the answer. The grace, what did Jesus do on my behalf concerning this area of my life? That's it. That's the question you must ask in order to get into grace. If you are struggling concerning your financial situation, I like to use finances. Do you know why? Because you cannot go to town, you cannot walk, you cannot think, you cannot talk without money. You need money to live. You need money to send your kids to school. The money determines a lot of things in your life. It determines what clothes you wear. It determines what car you drive. It determines where you stay. It determines where your children go to school. It determines if you go on a holiday or not. It determines if you walk or drive. It determines if you drive or fly. It's all about money. Now, I'm not asking for money. I'm using an example and to explain to you the reason why you use money as an example. Money is the thing that everybody needs. Now you come into a place where you say, my finances, it's just not working out. You must ask yourself this question. What did Jesus do on my behalf to answer the question I have concerning my money? I'm not prospering. I'm not walking the way I'm supposed to walk. What's happening? Then you must say, Jesus, what did you do on my behalf in your obedience to the law, in your death, and in your resurrection in order for me to be set free from poverty? Then you go to 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. He was rich, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. And the Bible says you know the grace of God. So then you must know grace in that area. Then you must apply your financial problem to the cross. Not to your obedience, to the cross. And when you apply to the cross and you can see your victory financially through the obedience of Christ and the death of Christ upon the cross, you will see, hallelujah, I'm set free. And by faith that comes into your heart, you will have access into that grace which will bring forth fruit in your life, which is a change of your situation. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. He has met your every need. Every answer to every question you have is just in one word, grace. Let your words be full of grace so that you might know how to answer every question. Man, isn't that powerful? Let's read it a last time. It's so beautiful. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Hallelujah. In the next broadcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about the grace of God and what it really is out of Romans chapter 5, and talk a little bit about immortality and the gift we expect by grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's so powerful. Now, we're going to look at some miracles right now that happened in the Crusades, and this I want you to look at it so it can just stir your faith. You've heard this word of grace. Now you're going to see the manifestation of grace. And this is what's going to happen to you today. Amen. God is going to bless you. And then after that, we're going to quickly pray for the sick. Amen.